Accession number 20785, Reel 1.
Robert Keenan, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
North Shields,
Tyne
and Wear.
Which year was this?
1924.
Did both your parents come from North Shields?
My mother did, yes.
And your father?
As far as I know.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in North Shields?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
I went, first I went to the Eastern School, and I went on to the Linskill Secondary School.
How old were you when you finished there?
14.
So that was in 38?
38, yes.
Did you get a job when you left?
Not straight away. I did do after about, I should think about 6 months.
What job did you get?
I went to work in a sawmill.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
Yes.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did, yes.
What were your feelings about that?
I think as a youngster, excitement.
So did you not feel any sense of dismay?
No.
Did the war affect you at first?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, I wanted to get into it. Wanted to be a Spitfire pilot.
But were you in any bombing in the early part of the war?
Yes, we did get a few bombs, yeah.
Can you describe the bombing in your area, please?
Well, we were in the shelter, and we heard the planes going over. Then there was the sound of the bombs coming down. One landed quite near, shook the house up. My grandfather was indoors. He refused to come in the shelter. And I remember going up the stairs into his bedroom to see if he was all right. And he was.
Do you remember what your address was in those days?
29 Coburg Street.
Were there many bombs round that street?
Within first one, I think, was about 100 yards away. The next one would be about 300 yards away. Then they spread out outwards towards the other end of the town.
Do you remember the names of any streets that were hit by bombs?
Yes, Grey Street, Wilkinson's Mineral Water Factory in King Street. That was bombed, that was hit by a bomb. And people were in the shelter underneath, and the bomb came down the machinery, they were trapped under the machinery. Most of them were killed. The next one landed, I should think, in Bedford Street, round about Bedford Street area. Another one landed on the top road near the old cemetery. Another one landed, I think it was in the west end of the town. I don't know the name of the street.
Were you ever frightened in the bombing?
Oh, yes.
And you used the shelter yourself?
The shelter.
Did you use the shelter yourself?
Yes.
What kind of a shelter was it?
That was a brick build shelter with a sort of, I should think, about a 9-inch concrete roof on the top, built into the backyard against the wall.
What do you think public morale was like in under the bombing?
Very good. Very good. There was no panic. There was no... Nothing like, you know, they say people get frightened and scared, but no evidence of that.
Did you think the Germans might win the war?
No, never. No.
Did you ever listen to wireless in those days?
That's all we did. We could only listen to the wireless.
What type of thing would you listen to?
The news, especially the news. Programs, Oh, workers' playtime, things like that. Tommy Handley.
Would you listen to speeches by higher people?
I can't remember, really, there being a lot of speeches. Not until Churchill came on to the, took over. I didn't hear much from Neville Chamberlain.
What did you think of Churchill's speeches?
Very good. Very good. Just what we needed.
And Lord Haw Haw?
Oh, well, everybody laughed at him. Yeah, everybody laughed, Lord Haw Haw, yeah.
Now, you said you wanted to go into the RAF.
That's right, yeah.
Did you make any attempt to do that?
Well, I joined, first of all, I joined the Air Training Corps when it was first founded. Ambition then was, as every young chap, be a Spitfire pilot. I got on very well with the Air Training Corps, I enjoyed it very much. When I got near to the age to join up the RAF, I went to the recruiting office and said, "Do you want to be air crew?" I said, "I only want to be air crew." So, yes, what do you want to be? I said, "I want to be pilot." Well, there's a waiting list. You can, when you're 18, you can apply. You'll have to wait because we've got so many people want to be pilots and we can only train so many at a time. But if you want to go in as an air gunner or a wireless operator, we can get you in weeks. I said, no, thank you. I want to be a pilot. Of course, when I was, as I got near 18, I began to think, well, if I've got a way to be a pilot, the war's going to be over before I get the chance. And then the idea came for me to go into the army, join up the army and become a glider pilot. Well, when I tried that, I went to the army recruiting office and said, "I want to be a glider pilot." And they said, "Well, it's not quite that easy. What you have to do, you have to join the army, go into an established unit, and transfer to the glider pilot regiment. They don't take people direct. You've got to come from another unit." And that was the idea. It came across my mind straight away, well, I'll go into a good regiment and I'll get a transfer. So that's why I finally picked the Coldstream Guards. I wanted the best regiment. I thought they were the best. when I went to the recruiting office and said I want to join the Guards, I remember this to this day, a sergeant sitting behind the desk and another sergeant behind him. "Yes, you can join the Guards, but you'd have to join up as a regular for 7 years. So I was so keen, I thought, "Oh, that doesn't matter. The war might last for 7 years." So I put my name on the dotted line eventually for 7 years.
And then?
Then, and I eventually got my date to join the Guards in November. Went down to the Guards depot, was first one in my new squad. They'd already completed one squad and I was just the beginning of the next squad. So I was the first one in the squad. Then we gradually got enough men coming in to form a new squad. Did our basic training. We had an interview with the adjutant. I went in to see the adjutant and he asked me, "What do you want to do in the Guards?" And of course, me straight away, I said, "Well, I'd like, sir, to be transferred to be a glider pilot." Which didn't go down very well with the adjutant. "What? You want to leave the Guards? You've only been in 2 or 3 weeks." So I said, "Well, that. I was told I could join and transfer into a glider pilot regiment or a parachute regiment." But that was turned down. I expected that, of course. Anyhow, I did my training, B basic training at the guards depot.
What was that like?
Hard. Very hard. Physically hard. But that didn't matter. I was a fit chap. I used to do running, play football and everything. Even got put in the boxing team, did well in the boxing. Never been in the boxing ring in my life before that. Had a great squad. First class sergeant in charge. Weapon training instructor, he was first class. No complaints at all. Then we finished our basic training. We should have done, I think, 15 weeks. But at that time, there were a lot of casualties in Italy and North Africa. So they cut down the basic training.
Where did you do the basic training?
Per the guards depot, Caterham in Surrey. Then we moved to our training battalion, which was at Purbright in Surrey. Went there and did our basic infantry training, as all guardsmen did. We had an aptitude test after about, I should think after about a month or so. They had at that time a guards armoured training wing, which was on the same site as the infantry battalion, separate unit altogether. So many from each squad, they got the choice of going to an armoured battalion, either the 1st Battalion, which was Guards Armoured Brigade, or the 4th Battalion, which was the Guards Tank Brigade. The 1st Battalion, Sherman tanks, the 4th Battalion with Churchill tanks, and I don't know what it was, whether the name Churchill or the look of the Churchill tank appealed to me more than anything. So I did the aptitude test, and being mechanically minded, I'd already learned Morse code in the air training course, so I sailed through that test. So I was one of those selected for the Guards Armoured Training Wing. Went up to the Guards Armoured Training Wing, which is further up the road. Did my training there as a wireless operator, which was very, very easy because I had done well in the Morse code and everything in the air training corps. I knew it all. In fact, I could take and send Morse at higher level than was required. So I walked through that. Went on to the gunnery course. Enjoyed that. In fact, I enjoyed the whole basic training in the armoured wing. Really enjoyed it. Best time in my army so far. Finished our more training then. Then we were sent to the various battalions. Most of the boys who were in our squad went to the infantry. Went off to the 2nd Battalion. Some, I think, went to the 3rd. I think a couple went to the 1st, and I went to the 4th. So off we went. They were stationed then at Rufford Abbey, not far from Nottingham. Got there and posted to number 1 squadron. I was me, there was David Hours, who was from Sunderland. Arthur Wadsworth from my squad, he came and he went to number 2 squadron. Most of the time I was in what was called a spare crew. The tank crews were all allocated men who had been in since 1914 at a later date, and this was 1943 when I joined, but continued with training. Went on schemes and tank crew and everything. They thinned out the squadron at one time. They took so many men away to another unit, which was called the Forward Delivery Squadron. That was to be the reserves for when the first casualties came. Luckily, I was kept with the squadron. I was very happy there. Wonderful chaps and that. Wonderful men. Some of them were like a father to you.
Were you in a particular troop as well?
Well, later on, yes. I was about... I must have been the youngest one in the troop, in the squadron. There was other ones, you know, about the same age. Young Bill Neal, he was about the same age as me. Most of the other ones were chaps about four, probably more years older. Very good, very good. I'm very happy there. Then as D-Day approached, we moved down to Kent. A place called Charing. Kent, that's not far from Maidstone. Bit out in the wilds then. We missed our Saturday night out in Nottingham. But then I was still one of the spare crew, which meant I wasn't in a tank group. But then we got new armoured cars, not armoured cars, scout cars. We got the white scout car. We had had the four-wheeled ones before that. And we got the new half-tracks. And the driver there was a chap called Gilbert Brown, who was very small for a guardsman. He'd been originally in the Queen's Regiment. And he must have been 30-odd at that time. One of the elder ones. Very nice chap, though. And I was put as the gunner and co-driver in the half-track with Gilbert Brown. So that officially was my, you know, my job from that date on. We're stuck there in Charing. I remember coming up the road one day and I'd gone into the dining room and the radio was on and turned the radio on and the voice come on and said, Allied troops have landed in the Normandy beaches. And I listened. I thought, well, nobody said anything here about, you know, about D-Day or anything. So I came out and the Sergeant Major was coming up the path and I said, Sergeant Major, I said, they've landed in Normandy. And he was as shocked as I was because we all thought that D-Day, you know, we ought to be there as well. But it wasn't to be. What had happened was, I think originally we were intended to be in earlier stages, but the flying bombs were coming over thick and fast at that time, and one had come down further up the towards Maidstone, and the Ramey camp was there. All the craftsmen were there, and it come down early in the morning, and it crashed onto the camp, and it killed so many. I think there was over 40 killed. Well, that's your brigade workshop practically wiped out. So I think that put pay to the Guards Armoured Brigade, or Tank Brigade as it was then, going to France earlier than what it did. Anyhow, eventually we moved down to Gosport and we're in the woods there. That's all I remember. It was all trees and woods and all the tanks and the sub vehicles and guns and everything all among the trees. We moved down one night, went on to the tank landing ship. The first time I had been on a big ship in my life. we got on the tank landing ship. It's a British one. I remember that, Royal Navy. Some of the other ones went on the American one. We got on the tank landing ship and we were allocated lookout duties, which meant you had to go towards the bows of the ship along the deck and looked down into the hold of the ship, and there were all the tanks chained to the hull of the to stop them rocking and moving. soft vehicles, which we called the lorries, and everything, were up on the upper deck. I came to do my 2 hours lookout, stood there, and watched these tanks. By then, we were out at sea, and the bottom of that ship was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And the tanks were moving one way and moving another, and the chains were pulling and the creaking noises. And I had started to go, and I had my first experience of being seasick. I wasn't much good at a lookout, I tell you. Anyhow, I finished my 2 hours. There were bunks along the side of the hull of the ship, and I lay down there. Once I'd been lying there for, I don't know if I fell asleep for how long. Anyhow, the next thing, there was such a crash on the side of the hull, and I thought, that's it, we're torpedoed. But what it was, they dropped the anchor, and as it swung the anchor out, it clashed on the side. And I still felt terrible, I felt awful. Went up on the deck, and the sergeant major was hanging over the rail, and I got close as I dare to him, and we were both sick together over the side. So I wasn't very good as a frightened soldier, not on board a ship. Anyhow, we got over to the other side, got in the half track, and up we went and into France.
Do you know whereabouts you landed in Normandy?
We're not far from Bayeux. We got there, and basically what our job was at night time was taking the half track up to the tanks, taking ammunition, petrol. We were that half track was loaded. If anything had hit us, we would have gone up like a like a Christmas cracker. Gilbert Brown, I always remember poor Gilbert, he had arthritis in his shoulder. And a half track was a heavy vehicle to steer around, especially cross country. And he used to go, and he, oh, my arm, my arthritis. And I said, he used to say to me, you'll get it one day, you'll be old yourself one day. And I always remember them words because it's true. You do get arthritis when you're older.
So how old was he?
I don't know. He was well over 30. He was well over 30, yeah. Yes, Lord Gilbert. So, the tanks had gone into the first action, and they'd done very well. We came out from Bayer area, La Benny-Bicard, Philippe-Bicard, Caen, all around that area. Saw our first dead bodies, most German. I always remember one lying outside Caen. We went up one day and he was lying at the side of the road with his arm up, and he had his army paybook sticking up in the air. We came back, must have been about 3 or 4 days later, and he was still lying there, because we weren't worried about burying our body at that time, especially Germans. Dusty, dirty. We were hungry. We had basic rations. You know, you get a tin out with a little block in, and you put it in hot water and boil it up, and that was your porridge, and another cube, and that was your soup. Dry biscuits. I always remember the biscuits, because when you opened the packet, there was often a little ticket inside there, and I always remember opening one and said, biscuits from Breezy Blackpool. I always thought, I'd never go to Blackpool. Anyhow, it was peculiar. Your ideas of going into the front line and war and everything, you try and imagine things, but things happen that you never expect to happen. We'd only been there a couple of days, I think, and somebody came along and said, do you want to go to the cinema? And I said, go to the cinema? they're fighting up the road here. Anyhow, they made a clearing in the woods, and they'd put a little canvas screen up, and they've got a projector there, and they were showing films. And I can't remember what the film was, but I always remember that. Yeah, do you want to go to the cinema?
Do you mean Hollywood films?
Yes, yeah. We got our first, I remember our first bath. I think we were run by the Royal Engineers. And they had a sort of big canvas marquees and they put them along the banks of the river. And they pumped the water out of the river into the boilers and they had showers. And you went there and you had a shower. And when you came out, they give you clean underwear. I remember that because it was dirty and dusty. Everything was dirt and dust. And I felt very clean and everything. And then somebody said to me, you know, they're pumping water out of that river into the showers, and that river is full of dead bodies. So that rather took the shine off it. Anyhow, I remember having my first, what I call the bath. There was a farm on the top of the hill, and halfway down the hill there was a horse trough. And I went up there, and big pump there, cold water, got the pump out, filled the horse trough up with cold water, and got in and had a good clean down. But Normandy, I remember going into Bayeux, getting some cheese, which everybody said was delicious, but gave me the runs. And the apples, we were all eating apples straight off the trees, and they give you the runs. Yes, and I had a couple of narrow escapes. We were brewing up a tea down the side of the hill once, and they used to put petrol into the soil, dig a hole and pour petrol in, set light, put your can on top and boil your water. We were waiting to boil it, and somebody said, oh, look over there, there's something lying over there, some looked like discarded weapons or something. And we just went away and walked away, and a mortar bomb came down and blew the dixie and everything up. So that was our first narrow escape. And yes, there was danger around, but you couldn't watch every step, you couldn't look around every corner and that. We left, I remember leaving Normandy. I went as co-driver in the Humber Scout car with Arthur Bottrell from Huddersfield. And we drove through the night. I don't know where we were going, but it was a long journey. We had been traveling all night. I think we must have arrived somewhere in Belgium next morning. Then we stopped and everything seemed to be at a standstill, because then the Guards Armoured Division had made the breakout and were pushing on towards Brussels, and the other units were left behind. So I found myself then going with another Geordie, Matty Austin. They took all the drivers that were available, the co-drivers like me, whipped us all away and on trucks. We went to petrol dumps, ammunition dumps, and we were taking petrol supplies up as far as, I should think, about 20 miles from Brussels. They were so desperate to get the supplies of petrol to the front line, they were more concerned about that than getting the other tank battalions up to the front. So we were taking petrol up to this base near Brussels, came back, picked up a load of infantry, took them up towards Brussels, came back again, took more petrol up near Brussels.
From where? Where were you bringing the petrol from?
I should think that must have been somewhere in France. Mozambique supply depot. You see, they had no ports till they got Antwerp and everything. They had to bring everything up through France. So I was cruising through France and Belgium as co-driver with